Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 22nd, 2007. The only August 22nd, 2007 in the history of the world. Let's keep that in mind. And it is also the first night of the summer pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Yes, fresh in from the Field of Dreams I am. As you beautiful humans who have logged in, whether it be live or on the archive, know that I have been residing in what amounts to the Kevin Costner backyard in the movie of Field of Dreams. But this place was in Wisconsin. Big backyard with nothing but corn stalks surrounding. And I'm back in the urban region known as the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That was the original name of Tampa Bay, Michael, by the way. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, back in the day. They had the right idea, but here in Tampa Bay, now and back in the Glenn Klein Online Studios, glad to have you along with us as we have the summer pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution underway now, and we are glad that you are with us. Whether you are listening live or on the archive, we encourage you to participate in this pledge drive by letting us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. What you are going to do on a monthly basis or on a one-time gift, and for a $100 gift or more, and it can even be spread out over time, you will receive the very fresh Dead to Sin CD, and we'll be talking about that as the broadcast, the webcast, rolls on here on Wednesday night. Now, we also are going to be taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260, and when you call, we want you to call with comments. We want you to email us with your questions and comments. Always let us know where you're calling from, because that always encourages everybody who is listening. But tonight is the night, and for the next three nights, consecutively in the next 3 weeks, we are going to be raising $7,500 so we can pay the bills. Yeah, this is bill-paying time for the Gospel Revolution. So get on board, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody get us off the mark right from the get-go with a contribution of any kind. We ask for $100, you get a free CD for that, but any amount accounts. A lot of people, Michael, say sometimes, you know, I can't afford it right now. I'm hurting. Send $5, because we know that this message is touching you, is enlightening you. Frankly, the message that we share saves you. It's not us that saves you, by the way. It's the message of the gospel, the good news, the gospel of grace and peace. So even if it's a buck, if it's $5, $10, whatever you can do, but for $100 gift to gospelrevolution.com, you will receive the new CD, Dead to Sin. And we started talking about that last week, Michael, when I was still in Wisconsin. We were both on remote. And we had some very, very in-depth insight into the fact that Jesus, as far as the law was concerned, the law of Moses, the 600, not, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Moses did not give 10 commandments to Israel. He gave 613 commandments. And because Jesus was tempted in all ways, the Bible says, we discovered that Jesus actually was guilty of breaking the law, but he was still without sin, still perfect, because he was never separated from God. In fact, he was God in the flesh. And when you talk about being dead to sin, Jesus was dead to sin from the get-go.
Yes, and Jesus took of the sin that Jesus took upon himself was even that's another really awesome thing. When Jesus died on the cross, he did not die for for people's transgressions. He died to remove the law that held transgression against us, but he died for the sin of the world, as we brought out, singular. And I think I've shared before that, you know, when I was just a young man, I attempted suicide and desperately tried to kill myself and it took me many years to plan to come to grips with the full reason why. And it was actually a teaching when it just came out of my mouth, you know, why I had attempted suicide. I had always attributed to, different things, my sexuality, my mom's death, so many things. But it just came out of my mouth, and I realized that it was just the truth, and that the reason that I was attempting suicide was because I was raised in the Baptist church, and I was taught that every time that I sinned, that I was crucifying Jesus all over again, and that I was inflicting pain on Jesus Christ, and that I was driving those nails in his hands again. And I don't know why, but from childhood, I always had an extreme love for Jesus, and I just decided that my existence and my inability to stop, quote, sinning was going to hurt Jesus that much, I just had to die. And I remembered those thoughts, and it was quite a stunning thing to happen because, you know, as you develop your testimony, you say, well, I tried to commit suicide because I was sinning and I was away from God and all of these things, but that was not the truth. I mean, my issues were not that I was away from God. It was that I was so close to God, and my thoughts about God that were given to me by the churches that I went to were so false that it led me to attempts of suicide. But when Jesus died on the cross, this brought me great, great freedom, and maybe it will help some of our listeners tonight, but when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have to die because you did bad things. Oh, my gosh. I really want to get that across to people's hearts. Jesus did not have to die because you did bad things. That crucified me, believe me. It crucified my heart and ripped me apart mentally and emotionally. I was taught to love Jesus and then taught that I was persecuting him and hurting him, and that he had died for me, and now here I was hurting him, and my goodness, what a torment for a young mind. It was, I mean, that's a torment for an old mind. But when Jesus went to the cross, when he died, he was not being punished because of man's breaking of God's law. His punishment included nailing the law to the cross and our sin, singular, the sin of the world. That was Adam's transgression, the sin of unbelief, if you track it back to the Genesis account. And literally, Jesus died for man's unbelief. So the church has turned that completely on its head, and said that Jesus died for your sins because you were doing bad things, Jesus had to die. And totally then have completely denied that Jesus really died for the sin of unbelief, for the whole world. And by doing that, it creates a system that keeps you dealing with sin in your life all of the time, instead of being freed from sin and being empowered, because you know that even your unbelief cannot alienate you from God. And even Adam's transgression was not powerful enough, even though it held in bondage many, many generations. Every human being that drew breath from Adam forward, every human being that drew breath was held in that bondage and to that sin, and held firmly until those captives and us captives were all freed at the cross and were brought into the other prison, if you will, as Paul taught that Jesus led captivity captive, and he brought us into captivity to a righteousness that cannot escape us. And you know, you know, for some reason, that's just really, really coming to my heart tonight to really emphasize that Jesus didn't have to die because you did bad things. Jesus, let me say it again. Jesus did not have to die because you did bad things. Jesus had to die because of one man's sin. And he had to die to remove the law that was imposed until the restoration. But the restoration of all things took place and the law was removed. And now we are in that place in relationship with God to where it is not based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil anymore. It's not based on my belief. It's not based on my belief in God. Thank God we are back to it being based on God's belief in you and me.
That's exactly right. And I want to talk about the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because that is where the whole problem started, and that is where the whole problem remains. But we want to remind you that this is a special 90-minute Glenn Klein online webcast as we kick off the summer pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. All you got to do is go to the GospelRevolution.com website, click on donations, do your best. For a $100 donation or more, you will receive the free CD from us called Dead to Sin. And that's one that you want to hear, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, Dead to Sin. And then just email us here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can include it in our $7,500 goal for the next 3 weeks. We're also trying to raise 21 new monthly supporters who have not yet ever, or at least for a while, have committed to giving on a monthly basis. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com, or you can just call us and tell us what you did at 1-800-436-3260, and get in early because we've got some special guests calling on that line as well later, and we want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. When you get right down, Michael, to the scene in the Garden of Eden, God had given Adam instructions. He said, you can partake of any of the trees in the garden. In other words, to me, all the trees represent anything that one would be inclined to in life. And most of those things, obviously, if they're coming off a tree, they're nourishing. They may not be tasteful to everybody, but they could, Adam and Eve, could have partaken of every, and they probably did at some point, of every tree. He just said, do not partake of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, let me, God, decide what's right and wrong for you. But this is the problem with the Garden of Eden, and it's a problem with Christianity and all religion today. We are still trying to figure out, vis-a-vis how God sees us and how God sees other humans, what is right and wrong. And that is sin, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is not smoking, drinking, chewing, hanging around with girls that are doing. It's not about rock and roll. It's not about pornography. It's not about lying or stealing. It's about thinking that somehow we can figure out what God thinks is right and wrong. And that, Michael, is what separates us, not anymore in reality, because nobody's separated from God. Just like you said, we are in a permanent prison of righteousness.
Absolutely. Yeah, Paul has made that very clear, that, that the blood of Jesus Christ has done its work, and now the only thing that is left is that we need the blood of Christ to purge our conscience from dead works, according to Hebrews. That is the goal now, and the blood of Christ purging our conscience from dead works, I think, also refers to Paul's teaching about the renewing of the mind and the saving of the soul. And, that's a powerful thing to have happen to you, to have your conscience purged by the blood of Christ. Can you imagine that your consciousness is and your awareness of relationship is completely purged from dead works? And I think it purges us not only from dead works in relationship to God, but I think that it can begin to permeate and purge our conscience from dead works in relationship to each other, where that relationship between us is not based on what we do for each other, but it's based on true love, that it really is a love relationship that we have, that we just love. It's not because... And, we always have those things, which I love expressing love to people once I understand what they interpret love as, because we all interpret love differently. But the fact of it is, it doesn't have to be a because. I love you because. It can be I just love you. And that's no strings attached. And that's the I believe that the blood of Christ, when we get our conscience purged from the dead works, not evil works, dead works, when our conscience is purged, if I might impose this on that verse at this time, purged from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, once our conscience is purged by the blood of Christ from the knowledge of good and evil, then we have this great confidence before God, and enough confidence to where that we don't have to walk around with defenses up and guards up about loving people and about them loving us, that we can actually be free and not be afraid.
Exactly.
There's a vast difference between the two, and believe me, I have spent my share of time in afraid as much as anybody has, but I don't think any of us have to live there. We don't have to live there. We don't have to have our identity and our performance not in relationship with God and not in relationship with each other. But it's not something you can require of yourself. See, that's the same thing in the church. They tell you, well, the Bible says love one another even as Christ has loved us. Well, it comes to us as a commandment. And you can't command somebody to love. People say, well, the only commandment is love. Well, you can't command somebody to love.
So what did he mean there when he commanded that? Was it just another example of Jesus articulating the law the way it was intended to be articulated?
Absolutely, and that the only one who fulfilled that law was Jesus. See, we just cannot take any credit for this, nor any directive that places us in a harmony with God. Me loving you, Glenn, does not put me in harmony with God. It's an expression of my understanding of my harmony with God. And a lot of people get hung up on the two laws that all the law hangs, and so now we got to keep these two laws. It's nonsensical. It's total nonsense. Because you can't keep the two laws any more than you could keep the 613 laws.
Exactly.
Because to do what? What were the two commandments? Jesus said, okay, it's all down to this, all right? And if you do this, you've done it all. And that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, by doing that, you fulfill all the law. Well, of course you would. There would be no laws broken if you were doing those things.
Yes.
If you did those two things. But you cannot be in bondage to those two laws. You cannot.
Those might be the hardest laws that are articulated and outlined in the entire Bible.
I could keep from killing you, but don't force me to love you. You know, it ain't going to happen.
Not only that, to try to think that you could love God with all your heart, with all your soul. It's not possible, ladies and gentlemen.
It is not possible.
Unless that love is expressed through Christ. Then,
absolutely.
And then you have nothing to worry about. I was sitting next to a woman on the plane today coming back to Tampa, and she's a very successful woman. And I was reading a book called Stop Going to Church by Stephen Rogers, who's going to be on tomorrow night. Stop Going to Church. This is a guy who was a minister in an evangelical Pentecostal denomination his entire life, and he wrote a book called Stop Going to Church. So that started the whole conversation. And she said, well, if you commit murder, then you're a sinner, right? But if you defend yourself or your children and kill somebody, then you're not a sinner. I said, no, you're not a sinner no matter what. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to deal, we were talking at the time in the state of Wisconsin, with the state of Wisconsin or the federal government or the family whose person that you killed. That's reality. But as far as God is concerned, murderers are all those people who even call somebody a fool. You're a murderer in God's eyes. But in God's eyes now, ladies and gentlemen, you are all perfect. You are all righteous. You might as well be Jesus as far as the way God the Father sees you.
Yeah, it's much easier to, quote, act perfect if that is the goal. If you are perfect, it's certainly impossible to act, quote, perfect if you are not. It's just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous to think that perfect actions could bring about perfection. The only way that you ever have any actions at all, that even if the scenario, if that was the goal, but see, we can't get trapped by that. The goal is not to be perfect. You've already become perfect.
Right.
The goal is not to modify your behavior so relationship with God is more profitable. There is no behavior modification that can enhance your relationship with God.
Exactly. And
you must accept your relationship with God through the purging blood of Jesus Christ coursing through your conscience, knocking out all dead works. All dead works. And dead works are believing there's something you can do to lose relationship with God or something you can do to gain relationship or fellowship with God.
Or to improve it or to injure somehow this perfect relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, you are no less perfect in God's sight at any time during any waking or sleeping moment that you have than you are if you are a man or a woman. You have no doubt right now, well, maybe some of you do if you're a man or a woman, but that's for another webcast. But in this case, if you know that you're a woman, if you know that you're a man, you have no doubt about it. It is part of your identity. That's how perfect you are in God's sight. 100% male or female, Jew or Greek, if you're free, if you're a slave, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're left-handed, if you're right-handed, if you're white, if you're black, if you're brown, if you're Asian, if you're Native American, it doesn't make a difference what you are. If you've never even heard the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, which is what his real name was, Jesus the Messiah, Joshua, which means salvation, all we're talking about here right now is cleansing your soul. That's salvation. Redemption is what happened, the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth. It was manifest at the cross. But now when we talk about it, when we meditate on it, and meditate literally means to mutter, to contemplate it, to talk about it. That's what we do on this webcast every week. That's what all Mike's teachings are about. We are meditating the perfect work of Jesus Christ in your life. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's the GospelRevolution.com Summer Pledge Drive. We have gotten a $100 contribution. Our goal tonight is $2,500 on our way to $7,500 over the next 3 weeks. And thank you for that anonymous gift. For a $100 or more contribution, you will receive the free CD, Dead to Sin. That's what we're talking about, being dead to sin tonight. And we want to hear from you. Just go to the GospelRevolution.com website, click on donations, and then email us here at webcast@GospelRevolution.com. Let us know what you did. And we'll be talking about the process of filling those orders for you. You could also order all the CDs and DVDs that are online available to you right now at GospelRevolution.com. And just let us know so we can count that goal. And if the person that made the anonymous gift on PayPal can let us know who you are, we would love to acknowledge you on tonight's webcast. But right now, on our toll-free Glenn Klein Online hotline, we have Mr. Mike Massey from the great state of California. Michael?
Yes, sir.
We got all kinds of Michaels tonight. How are you doing out there tonight?
I am perfection in human form.
truer words have never been spoken, Mike. That's true.
Yeah, good. I'm sitting outside in the yard. Everyone threw me out of, like, one daughter's doing homework, threw me out of my office. My pregnant one, who I'm going to be a grandpa from in 2 weeks, sent her friend over. She's in the family room. I can't go in there. So it's beautiful outside. I'm in the backyard looking at the pool, enjoying the wonderful fresh air, talking to you guys.
That's awesome. Well, Mike Massey from California calling in on Glenn Klein Online tonight. Mike is a huge supporter of the Gospel Revolution. And Mike, let our listeners know a little bit about your background on how you stumbled on this wonderful gospel of grace and peace.
Oh, God. This goes way, way back. Several years ago. How many years ago exactly, I don't know, but I was attending a Word of Faith church here in California, and the pastor and his wife were real tight with Brother Hagen. He came out here, started a church, and, you know, did this whole thing, and one of the individuals who I had known prior to that in another church gave me a couple of Mike Williams tapes. In fact, his name is Bob Williams. So he gives me a couple of Mike's tapes. Listen, this guy's really good. So I just went, you know, as soon as I heard it, it was like, huh, that's it. That's all I need. You know, well, you got any more? You know, after that, I think I bought pretty much every tape Mike had out at the time. And, you know, went through them, you know, voraciously and just drank it all in and learned what I could. And of course, at that time, I didn't know, you know, that God was just, you know, he was peeling me away from the evangelical word of faith mindset and, you know, leading me into just being who I am. And in the process, you know, I told Bob Williams, I said, wow, this guy's terrific. Well, you know, it's not right, you know, and it was, you know, long story short, he decided he didn't want to listen to what Mike Williams had to teach because it wasn't, you know, didn't fit his upbringing. He was raised a Baptist, got in the Word of Faith, filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole thing. And the first time, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, something clicked in there. The first time, I guess my wife picked up the other line. The first time I saw Mike was at the Eagle's Nest Christian Fellowship.
Oh, my goodness.
Pastor Gary Greenwald.
Oh, we are going back a few years.
Oh, yeah, at the Eagle's Nest. And he was live there, so I thought, I got to go. But a friend of mine who was also a Word of Faith guy, but, you know, he just did not make the connection. So, I mean, I was all excited, you know, to hear this guy, you know, because I listened to most of his tapes and so on and so forth. And anyway, we went in, and I remember at one point we were getting on an elevator, and you were coming off, and you had, like, bodyguards around you that he had, I guess they had signed to you, you know. So anyway, the service starts.
All right, wait, I got to stop you there, Mike. Michael, tell us why in the evangel, and you see this all the time on TV, you see it if you go to a larger church, why do they have these people to keep the people away from the anointed ones?
Well, and that's one of the number one reasons is that you can't disturb the anointing on the anointed, and, you know, you really develop a rock star status that I certainly had in that movement. And, you know, I never came or went without a bodyguard, you know, whether it was their church or someplace else. And, you know, when I came up outside, there were people standing on both sides of the car, guarding both sides of the car to help my driver get out and me and to take my briefcase and to escort us into the building and into the safe room inside. Oh, gosh, this is bringing back bad memories here. But
you gave all that up for the gospel? What are you crazy?
I don't know. I think I need to go back. You know, I need somebody to carry my briefcase again.
Yeah, it was. Exactly,
I need something in my briefcase to carry.
Yeah, it was exactly like you said. You know, he was like a rock star. You know, there was three big guys around. You know, and they walked him up the elevator. He went on his way, and anyway, so the service started, and you know, first thing out of his mouth was, "I didn't come here to tell you what's wrong with you. I came here to tell you what's right with you." I mean, that was it, right there. Of all the things I'd heard from all of his tapes prior to that, that was like it. It just like no one ever in my life ever said anything like that. I was raised in Chicago.
Where in Chicago?
Grew up in River Forest.
I grew up in Morton Grove.
Yeah, I know. You're from Chicago.
Huge Cub fan, Mike. Huge.
Yeah, my oldest daughter lives back there in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, it's right in the old stomping ground.
Got a ton of relatives there. In fact, my dad, well, you remember Dominic Finer Foods?
Sure.
My dad was the VP of the produce division for them for years and years. I worked in all their stores when I was.
That's a huge grocery chain in Chicago, Dominic's.
Yeah. So, being raised by an Italian father, and you know, he was real and Catholic, and you know how Catholics are. I mean, it's ridiculous. So anyway, when Mike said that, it was like totally, and it's one of those things that it hits you in the heart. It's effortless. No, it was like it just filled something that it needed to be filled, that I didn't even know needed to be filled. And I thought, then he went on and he started telling all the things that were right with us, you know. And, you know, and it's been, you know, like that ever since. So, you know, I just kind of growing as Mike grows. You know, we talk on the phone occasionally, not as often as I'd like, because we always get into some pretty good discussions. But
oh, we had a great one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
In fact, we talked about it, a lot of it on our broadcast this last time.
And you know, the thing, Michaels, I'll just say the Michaels, and I'll just cover you guys both, is that that's something that people don't realize, is that you've got to stay logged in here because we're growing in this grace thing. And it's always centered around the same topic, which is our righteousness in Christ and the way that God views us through Christ. But there's so many detailed, wonderful things that come out. We just had it last week, Michael, on the webcast. New, fresh ideas, new salvations, if you will, fresh experiences by the Holy Spirit teaching us how in depth our righteousness is and how perfect it is. This is something that helps make people's day, frankly.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and those conversations, just like what Mike was talking about, you know, guys that talk to each other, you know, build each other up, you know, in the gospel, because, I mean, Glenn, you know, the conversations you and I have on the phone, I mean, it's like a broadcast every time almost.
Yeah.
And just like the conversation that Michael and I were having and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and Mike was pondering, you know, what did, and he asked me, he was asking himself the question, he wasn't asking me, he was asking himself the question, what did the last Adam not do that the first Adam did? And that brought back, you know, a ton of stuff that we had mentioned before, but it put us land on it that was just caused us to have a really great broadcast this last week because it put my mind into those things. And, you know, it is a powerful, powerful thing. And Mike's right, you know, it comes in those conversations. You know, it is a continuing process. I know that we have people that were so in bondage that once they got freedom, they walked away from everything, including the teachings of the gospel that set them free because they were just so wounded. They just didn't want anything to do with it. But there's continual growth, and in the fellowship around the gospel is a very powerful thing.
I think that's what
I know. Mike is a businessman, and I know that the, you know, the ups and downs of business and family life and all of that. I know from talking with him, the reassurance of God's view and opinion of him, the reassurance of that, has been a great support to him. It certainly has been to me.
I think that's one of the great crimes, guys, of Christianity throughout history is taken the, even just the name of Christ, and so polluted it that people either won't consider Jesus as a viable spiritual option because of what the church has done, or they've had an experience in the church and they want to have nothing to do with anything that smacks of evangelicalism, which includes Jesus himself. And that is probably the greatest crime that organized religion has done over these last couple thousand years.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they make people scared of, you know, even if you're in an evangelical church, if, you know, these guys make off like, you know, they are in a, you know, a higher spot and that you have to attain to this in order to get all these blessings. And, you know, in order to do it, you need to do this, that, and the other thing. And then after you do that, they need to do this. And then, well, you know the drill. And after a while, you go, forget it, I can't do this. There's no way. It's totally impossible. So you just go, screw you guys. You know, I'm like Eric Cartman on South Park. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Now we can't have any South Park references on the Gospel Revolution webcast, Mike Massey.
That's the best show on TV, I'll tell you.
But
that's what happened. You know, that's what happened to me. Like back to where, you know, when I first met with Mike. After a while, I even went to the pastor of the church there, and I said, you have got to listen to this guy's teaching. He teaches on, you know, on grace like I've never had heard anybody ever teach about the gospel, you know, and I didn't know that much at the time. I was just drinking all in. Well, he evidently had heard of Mike, and I gave him a set of tapes, and, you know, he acted like, well, he would listen to him, but then he blurted out, well, you know, he says a lot of things for effect. And I thought, what do you mean? To myself, what do you mean he says a lot of things for effect? Isn't that why you speak?
Yeah, I was going to say, Michael, you can plead guilty to that, can't you?
I hope so.
Yeah. So, and then after a while, I went back. I said, well, did you listen? They'll say, no. And he came back to me and, you know, made some excuse and blah, blah, blah. And then I began to just very gently become ostracized. And, you know, I said, that's enough. That's enough for me. Goodbye. Stop going. And I did get the obligatory phone call from him. Where are you? How come you haven't been?
Hey, you know, a lot of guys wouldn't pick up the phone and make that call, believe me. That guy had a little bit of gonads anyway.
Well, I've been around a long time, and, you know, I was...
You were probably a good tither, too, right, Mike?
Yeah, very good. You know, and, you know, when that all... I just stopped. I just said, I'm going. Goodbye.
This is Glenn Klein online. We're talking with Mike Matzie in California, and of course, Michael Williams, president of thegospelrevolution.com. And tonight is our first night of the summer pledge drive, and wanting you to get in on that. Our phone lines are tied up right now, but you can email us with your contributions. Let us know what you're going to do. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you're going to do. Our goal is $7,500 over the next 3 weeks. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it helps us pay the bills. We're growing slowly but surely. Wealth and just financial strength is better off coming slow but sure. A lot of people, gentlemen, who win the lottery go broke because they didn't get it slowly but surely. They didn't know how to handle it, and they end up going broke. A lot of people who win the lottery commit suicide, and it's a very tragic thing. But we're growing slowly but surely, but we are growing. And if you folks that have been listening to this webcast and following this effort for these many months and even years know that it's been a struggle. But we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel now, but we need your contribution tonight. For $100 or more, you'll receive the free CD, Dead to Sin. You just got to let us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com what you're going to do or what you have done. Go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations, and do your best. It can be $100, it can be $500, it could be $5,000, but we will raise $7,500 in the next 3 weeks, and also 21 new members is our goal who have not been monthly contributors heretofore. And Mike Matzie, you've been an excellent and a supportive member of the Gospel Revolution. What would you say to people about the value of giving your hard-earned money to this effort?
Well, this needs to get out more and more in front of the whole world. For one individual to do that it's next to impossible. It's a team effort, and I think as the team is growing, you know, we all need to chip in. I mean, it's not going to get done by itself. It does take money, and human beings are the ones that are going to do it, and the only human beings that are going to do this are the ones that get it, so we're the ones that need to support it as it gains momentum. I keep trying to figure out what I've had. It's been a very challenging few years for me, but, you know, God's faithful. He gets you through, and, you know, good things happen, and, you know, good things are coming, and, you know, business is going cycles, real estate's up, then it's down, and stock market's up, and then it's down, and, you know, you have your business is really good, then all of a sudden, things change. So, you know, when you get accustomed to that, and you realize that that's just part of life on planet Earth, and you can learn how to relax and just let God be God, you know that eventually He'll get you. You'll be back to the place where, you know, it's just a little more comfortable. So, everyone needs to chip in. And I gave Mike a chunk of some money that I got from a guy, and this is a kind of a funny story. Someone had owed me some stock from a deal that we had done years ago, and it was like pulling teeth to get it, and I finally got it from him. And at the point that he gave it to me, it was worth X amount of dollars, you know. And then, I give Mikey a portion of that. I'm, more than happy to. And it was actually the first time I felt like I was able to, contribute. And I really wanted to anyway. So it really didn't matter. It was just good to have it to give. So anyway, he does this thing, and he puts this stock in my account. And then for some reason, he actually opened a separate account for me, puts it in. For some reason, his check didn't clear, so they canceled the order. And, of course, this was all his money doing this just to get it to me. And so he had to re-put the order. Well, by the time he put the order back in, he put the order in for, several shares fewer than the original one. And it was at that time at a lower price than he had originally done it. Well, long story short, by the time I got that into that account and then transferred it over to another account where I could trade it cheaper, it was worth about 2/3 of what it originally was. So I, from when I, decided to do that, it looked like this is ridiculous. It's going down. Well, anyway, I finally get it, and so I make the contribution, did a few other things, shifted some other stuff around, and it was like, wait a minute, it's not supposed to work like that. Going back to where when you give, it's supposed to be given on you. All these good things are supposed to happen. Well, it got worse. Honestly, it got worse.
Yeah.
But now I look back over the last 2 months, and some of the things that have happened since then have more than made up for it. So what's the big deal? I think what I learned, and this was a big summer for me, because a lot of things got settled. I don't care. If whatever happens is going to happen, and if God's not big enough to deal with it, well, he is big enough to deal with it. That's the whole point. Then, why bother? But, when you just relax and you just let God be God, and you do the best you can with what you have, where you are today, he just does it. And it doesn't have to be a big miracle. You don't have to have a windfall. We had 4 cars. One of my pregnant daughter, she can't drive and won't be driving for a few months. I don't need 4 cars. We sold one of the cars. I sold it for cash. It was paid for. I got $1,500 more than I would have gotten had I, sold it another way.
If you got that was your exact contribution from our last pledge drive. So just in that extra, you got that back. Not a 100-fold return, but
well, there is something about. See, I like to say to my seminars this way, fellas. I like to say, don't let money have you. You have the money, and it's just a little tweaking in your mind, and then you can make a conscious decision of what you're going to do with your cash and what is worth spending the money on. Mike Matthew from California, we're talking with. This is Glenn Klein Online with Michael Williams. And Michael, your reference to South Park and Eric Cartman has encouraged and inspired our good friend Greg Amberge from Kings Mills, Ohio, to contribute $100 more.
All right.
And so he says, I will go to PayPal and donate $100 in honor of the most Reverend Eric Cartman. So thanks a lot, Greg. And that Debt to Sin CD will be on its way. We're going to be talking about some of the complications and challenges that we've had with our CD duplication as the webcast rolls on. Well, not to put you on the spot, Michael, but would you like to do something to help us towards our $2,500 goal tonight?
Oh, of course. I was going to get to that. You didn't let me get there.
Well, this is what I do.
Oh, well, definitely. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, if I should spit out an amount or just surprise you,
Well, we like the amount just so we can count it towards the goal. It also encourages the other listeners.
Well, that's true. Well, put me down for $250.
That's awesome.
And, thanks, we'll go from there. Hopefully, we'll get more. But, I wanted to continue. There was another thought that I'd had with business and everything and cycles and all that. It seems like there are times when you can't win no matter what you do. I mean, everyone's experienced this. I know I'm not the only one. You push every button, pull every lever, kick every door, and nothing. then there are times where you don't do a thing and everything, you can't lose. So what's that all about? You know?
Yeah. You know, it's all in just moving forward, isn't it, Michael? As long
exactly.
as you're moving forward, you may not see results today, but the efforts today will come tomorrow, and, you know, tomorrow's efforts aren't going to pay off for a while. And yeah, but, you know, there is such power in just continuing to move forward. Just don't give up.
Well, and I talk about that as well, just that if you have something that's in your heart, ladies and gentlemen, that you want to do, whether it be contributing to this effort on a more profound basis or whatever you're involved in your life, just don't give up. We've seen this time and time and time again, even in Michael's and my life recently. As long as you don't give up, it seems like eventually, barring, you know, unforeseen circumstances, it will come around. And even Mike Matsey was talking about that tonight. So right now, folks, we're up to $450 on our way to $2,500 tonight. That's our goal. So that would be a third of our goal of $7,500 in the next 21 days. If you're listening to this on the archives, we know most of the people do listen to this program at their own convenience on the archives. Your gift this week will count towards that $2,500 and the ultimate $7,500 goal. All you got to do is email us during the course of the week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Tell us what you're going to do at the gospelrevolution.com website. And as I said, for $100 or more, you will receive the new CD, Dead to Sin. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be talking about some of the challenges we've had in duplicating the CDs, but that is going to be rectified as well, because you know what? We have not quit yet, and we're not going to quit. We're just not going to quit. That's the decision that we've made. We are going to work out every kink, every problem in the pipeline, and you will be receiving not only the CDs for the donations that you made, but also for your CD and DVD orders. So, Mike, you talked about all your family that's there in California. You're about to be a grandfather. Let us know how this gospel has affected your relationship with your children and your friends and the other relationships you have vis-a-vis how it was when you were in that evangelical charismatic Word of Faith church.
Oh, that's easy. Well, first of all, one more thing about giving. There is one immediate benefit that regardless of who you are, where you are, or how much you give, it makes you feel good. When you give, because I was sitting there thinking, I want to give, you know, how much am I going to give? Well, so I said, okay, I'll give what I said I would give. And you know what? It just made me feel good. Well, you can't buy that. So that's an immediate benefit right there. Just to feel good, make a pledge or just give some money. Just doesn't matter what it is, you know. And then you know what? When you feel good, you know, things just seem to work better, you know.
When you feel good, you have a better day. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and it compounds. You know, one thing, you know, this is like when you stub your toe and you get up the first thing and then you think, oh, boy, here we go, you know. Well, no, you don't have to start that way, you know. So you give, and it does. It just comes, you know. I thought about it. As soon as I did that, you know, I said, that felt good. And then I thought I got to share that because that's something, that's a spiritual thing. It's not something you can just conjure up. Well, I'm going to make myself feel, it just, you do. And it's a wonderful thing.
That's a good mic.
But anyway, with the difference now is, well, you know, I use my middle daughter as an example. She's 22. She came, and this was me, you know, and I always look to see, well, how am I going to react to different things in life? I told both of my younger ones, my older one's married, so no issue there. But I told these two when they were younger, and it's from a different marriage, so. But anyway, we're married over 25 years now, so, you know, we're in the long haul. But anyway, I told
them. Well, you're lucky you're hooked up with a Gospel Revolution, buddy, because if you were in a church, you'd be hard-pressed even to attend a church if you had a second marriage, let alone want a position of leadership. Forget about it.
The one church that I went to wasn't too bad. They were pretty gracious that way, although, you know, they always look at people funny if they had stuff in their life, you know, they'd always try to get it out. You know, that was their whole thing. But anyway, I told them both, if you ever get pregnant, don't get pregnant, but if you ever do, you're having the baby. There was one rule that I made that was, you know, we stuck to. And they were raised, you know, around Jesus, and they knew, you know, that God loved them and everything. And, you know, I've been, you know, around the the gospel of grace long enough to, you know, I don't beat them up at all. I said, they're humans. They're going to live their lives. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things. Well, anyway, she came home in December and announced to my wife and my, separately for me, they were upstairs. I didn't know what was going on. And they called me up, and my wife says, well, Michelle's pregnant. And I go, you know, I'm waiting to see what's going to come up.
Mm.
And I look at her, and she's weeping and crying. I said, well, maybe it'll be a boy, because I had all girls, right? So they started laughing. She busts out laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're laughing. I said, well, you know, so I go over and give her a big hug. I said, you know what? It'll be fine. And it was like, and then I walk out. I said, that was interesting, you know.
That's
so, you know, I think maybe 15 years ago, or if I'd been in it, oh, my God, I would have. In fact, a friend of mine who I play golf with, who's still, he's associate pastor of the Word of Faith church that I used to go to. They have a different name now. His daughter, when she was in high school, got pregnant, and he was pastoring a church at the time. And I had called them after this happened because I thought, well, they've been there and done this. I needed to talk to someone to see, you know, what do you do? How, you know, what can I expect? So on. So I asked his wife, Judy, I said, when your daughter got pregnant, I said, what? Or I was talking to him, and I said, well, what happened? He says, he yells over his wife, said, Judy, what happened? How was I when Terry got pregnant? And his daughter said. And so she says, oh, you were mad as hell. I was like, wait a minute. And it had to be hard for him because he's pastoring a church. Here, his 18-year-old daughter gets pregnant. You're not supposed to do that. Da, 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 da. Well, I think if, you know, back then, I probably would have had a much different reaction. But this was the coolest thing.
Well, you know, and you didn't think about their response. You just responded out of your heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was really cool. And then my younger one says, see, I told you Dad would say, you know, I told you he'd want to, you know, say something like that, or, you know, so they kind of know me, you know, at least probably better than I know myself, you know. So it was really cool, and it's been a real adventure, because we certainly didn't expect that. And the guy, do you have one of those things where you bleep out words when you say them on your thing? Because if I start,
we just say them. We can say whatever we want. This is the internet.
Well, okay. You know, about 10 bleep words, you know, describing him, but, you know, he's kind of out of the picture. Well, very much out of the picture, although she will be receiving monetary support because he joined the military a few months ago, so he's stuck there. But, you know, so all that, and I'm like, wow, this the way I'm reacting to this, the way this is all unfolding, it's really interesting because it's not at all like, you know, 10, 15 years ago how I would have thought. No way would have reacted.
Well, Michael, this is the point we've been making now for many months on this webcast, is that the gospel does have an effect on people's minds and emotions, and out of that comes a certain response to any situation.
Right. Right. And then, and now, so what, you know, what the Bible says, you know, what the devil meant for evil, God will turn for good somewhere, right? Isn't that verse in there somewhere? I don't know. Or maybe somebody made that one up. But it's been so cool going through. It's hard for her because, you know, it's hard for, you know, people to be pregnant and all that good stuff. But I'm thinking, well, you know, I never had a boy, and now.
Well, do you know what's in there?
It's a boy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we have no testosterone in this family whatsoever. Even the dog, our dog, we just had to put down after 15 years, and she was a girl. Got a girl cat. I got a girl wife and two other girls.
You got a girl wife?
Yep.
Well, you are just a radical man there, Michael Massey.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, so, you know, I got all this, whatever they hormone they got floating around, and I'm, you know, and I'm like, I need something here. So I'm like, well, thank God, you know. So now I'm going to get him. I'm from Chicago. I'm still a Bears fan, always was, always will be. My daughter was online on babysport.com and looking at, like, that little baby, hats and put, like, newborn stuff even, where you can put them in the Bear's outfit and a bear scarf and little bear socks.
Well, we need some baby gospel revolution stuff, Michael. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go. That would be a good business.
I think we're going to. But, hey, thank you so much for your time, Michael, and thanks for contributing to this effort.
Thanks,
and we'll continue to be in touch, all right?
Absolutely.
That's Michael Massey, ladies and gentlemen, from California, who ponied up for $250 tonight on our way to $2,500. We've also had two $100 gifts, which we really appreciate. For $100 or more on the summer pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution, you will receive the free brand new CD, Dead to Sin, and free and postage paid. So just let us know what you can do at any point. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations, make your gift, and let us know here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're now at $460, Michael, because John from Oklahoma just sent $10 in via
awesome.
PayPal.
Thanks, John.
John, we really appreciate it, and he says, great webcast tonight, guys. And now our phone line is open to take your calls, your questions, and your contributions, your donations, your tax-deductible contributions in the great, good old United States of America. Patrick L. Jones, our engineer, producer extraordinaire, our call screener, and tonight our donator taker is waiting to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260. Well, Mike, we've got a bunch of questions queued up.
Well, first, before we go on, I just have to say, now, was that not a classic gospel testimony? Wasn't it just awesome? The no facade, you know, nothing to prove. No self-righteousness, but incredible impact from the gospel in Mike's life and the time when he needed to be what he needed to be. I just had to comment.
But, yeah, it's a beautiful thing when the gospel that you're ruminating on, you're thinking about, hopefully on a daily basis, impacts a very important moment like that. I mean, they'll always remember that response.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I hope that Michael Matzie does not name his son Brian Urlacher Matzie, the linebacker of the Chicago Bears. I think Michael Williams Matzie would be a very MWM. That would work out. Well, our next email comes from Carrie, who just was wondering, Michael, if you had seen the documentary that's called From Freedom to Fascism. She had just seen it, and she would be interested to hear your opinion on it. Are you familiar with this documentary, From Freedom to Fascism?
No, I am not. I saw that. I actually did see that email earlier, and I am not aware of that.
Well, let's talk about going from the freedom that was procured at the cross by Christ to what is flat-out, out-and-out fascism known as evangelical Christianity right now. How does a message of freedom, a message of purity, a message of righteousness turn into one of bondage and discrimination and bitterness and hatred and massive dysfunction?
Well, you know, the thing that we have to do is the only thing that I know is the record that we have, and that is that it really did start with the apostles. We have little glimpses into their lives. I mean, we in the church community, Catholicism being the largest culprit, and of course Protestantism, but Catholicism giving them that almost deity status, believing. See, and that's where we went wrong. Our perfection is in Christ. Our perfection is not in the apostles. Our salvation, our redemption, is not in the apostles. It's in Jesus Christ. They hold no position. I have a great respect for them because they were. And I think people have heard me before, they were chosen to fail. And fail they did. They successfully failed.
You know, those guys were to represent the 12. There were 12 disciples, ladies and gentlemen, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And they all flunked, just like Israel.
Absolutely. And as representatives of all of the 12 tribes, that means all 12 tribes flunked at belief. All 12 tribes flunked at keeping the law. And then their representatives that God himself chose, and I do believe they were chosen of God, God himself chose, they failed at the only requirement that Jesus laid down. And he said, now all you have to do is believe. But the obvious thing in the book of Acts is that they still didn't get it then, and I know at least 15 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, they still didn't have it. They still didn't understand it. Jesus had to appear to Paul on the road to Damascus and then take him into the wilderness for 3 years and teach him the gospel. apart from the apostles, and then Paul's ministry as a result of Jesus himself teaching him put him in conflict with the apostles. Never was there an amicable communication between them. There was a bit of courtesies occasionally, but these guys, when they were in public, they were in disagreements. When they were behind closed doors, they were in disagreement. And it's, you know, we're trying to pick up where this all left off. Years later, there's been, you know, revelations that have come to the church. I think Paul got the revelation to the fullest degree. I don't know. I don't know that I, to the fullest degree, have the understanding of the gospel. I almost hope not, because I want to learn more. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to learn more. But it really did. I mean, it has turned into fascism around the apostles, around their lack of understanding, around their lack of ability to comprehend. I mean, these guys, up to 15 years that we have recorded in the book of Acts, were still offering animal sacrifices. They were still doing purification rites. They were still walking in the order of the priesthood of the Old Covenant. And they obviously did not see a completed work in Jesus. They didn't even see as much as what the church sees today. At least the church is not recommending to people to go through purification rites, which results in an animal sacrifice.
Or how about they're not recommending being circumcised?
They're not recommending being circumcised.
Like Paul did to Timothy.
Absolutely. And now we bring out our legalism in totally different ways, but the fact of it is that at least in those areas, we came to understand those things are wrong. Do you understand, Glenn, that the church came to the conclusion that the apostles were wrong, yet they revere them as though they were the mouthpiece of God to bring the gospel into the earth? And yet the church today disagrees with the apostles' creed. Their creed, the apostles' creed, was to circumcise all Jews, all Jewish believers, and even if you became a believer, they still wanted you circumcised. And if you wanted to have purification before God, you had to have your head shaved. You had to go through 10 days of purification and then them sacrifice an animal on your behalf.
Well, you've been purified because your head shaved.
I am on the way.
And Ted Haggard must have been purified because he went through at least 10 days of anti-gay reprogramming.
Yes, so. I think he went through that. I don't know if they sacrificed an animal or not. But.
This is Clyde Online. We're talking with Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution. On the first night of the Summer Pledge Drive, our goal is $2,500 tonight, $7,500 over the next 3 weeks. And as you're listening to this, whether you're listening live or on the archive, every dollar counts. We're up to $460 tonight. We need to hear from you. Haven't heard from anybody for a while. We've got a lot of email questions, which we're going to kind of machine gun through because we want to get through them all. But even if you're listening to the archive, please make your donation by clicking on at gospelrevolution.com. Go to the donations, make your best gift, hopefully a monthly gift, and for $100 or more, you will receive the free CD, postage paid, and free, Dead to Sin. Oh, by the way, we just heard from Mike Matzey again, Michael. He says that his daughter has picked out the name Vincent, and he is going to call him Vinny, of course. But she has decided to give him the last name Matzey. So Vincent Matzey on his way, nothing but good wishes and prayers and all that kind of good stuff for the Matthew family as they get to get ready to welcome another righteous soul, another righteous human being into the earth. And congratulations.
Conceived in righteousness and holiness.
Exactly. And as we say in the tribe, mazel tov, which means in Hebrew, good job. This next email comes from Jim and Donna, Michael. They said that our article about Jerry Falwell was not Christian at all, and it sounded more like the media today. Jerry is a brother in the Lord, so why did you slam the man? Was he perfect? No. Why not say something good about him and what the Bible says about him? He is a joint heir with Christ. What say you?
Well, that's just the thing, is that we are not, we made it very clear that we do believe that Jerry is the righteousness of God, that he is absolutely perfect in God's eyes. But if you think that Paul would have kept his mouth shut about something like this, or Jesus even, I mean, it does not mean that whenever somebody is, this is the difference. We do not speak up against people's actions and deeds and their personal life and their relationship with God. But I believe that it is my job to condemn what they teach. In fact, Isaiah, when Isaiah was proclaiming the gospel of peace that was coming and said that God was going to declare peace and his covenant of peace would never be removed. And in the very last verse of that chapter, I believe it is, he says, "And every mouth that opens in judgment, you are to condemn that." Now, we did not condemn Jerry Falwell. But
no, we said he went to heaven, didn't we?
Absolutely.
That's what we believe.
Yes, and we believe he knows more now than he did then.
He knows more now than we know, probably.
And I am sure that, you know, and we've said this many times, you know, that, you know, somebody, it doesn't make any difference if you're, you know, if you're Ted Bundy, somebody loves you, you know. You're nice to somebody, you know. You may not be nice to everybody. But what Jerry Falwell did on this earth was not commendable.
Overall, like you say, he did some commendable things. But hey, listen, Adolf Hitler got the trains to run on time. That was commendable. But
yeah, and I mean, I don't know that Jerry Falwell ever made anybody's train run on time. But you know, the fact of it is, this is where the rubber meets the road, and the thing of it is that Jerry would and did condemn me to hell, to burn forever.
And by the way, the vast majority of people on the earth, he would condemn to hell.
Oh, absolutely.
And seem to savor it a little bit.
That's what we are condemning. We are not. We were by no means condemning Jerry Falwell. In fact, we go through that all the time. And it's not a time to sit back and just be nice, you know? that's what, you know, just being nice and not raising your voice is not being productive or good for the human race. I mean, when atrocities take place, you should speak up.
Yes.
And Jerry Falwell committed atrocities on this earth.
And we would have been remiss, ladies and gentlemen, not to take the opportunity to point out the heinous nature of Jerry Falwell's doctrine. That's why we did it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Jerry, I've heard that in his personal life that he was quite a sweetheart, you know.
Although he was involved in a hostile takeover of Tammy Faye and Jim Baker's ministry, and apparently apologized to Tammy Faye before she went on to her eternal reward based on the sacrifice of Christ, not based on Tammy Faye's faith, but based on the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not the faith in God that saves us, ladies and gentlemen. It's the faith of God. It's that one little difference of a word. Now, we got to move on, but you know, hopefully that answers the question. If you stay logged on long enough, you know, you'll continue to catch our drift and where we're coming from. This letter comes from Europe, Michael. It's a little bit long, but I want to read it. He says, "Hi, Mike. I wrote to you a long while ago and unfortunately did not get a reply. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you write us at webcast at Gospel Revolution, or you directly contact us through the GospelRevolution.com website, this is how we respond. Eventually, we get to all the letters. So just stay tuned." He says, "But I really hope you will be in touch this time." So here we are. His name is Gaynor. "There is a horrendous number of children being used in the sex industry in Europe at the moment. Daily, these wonderful young people are running to hide behind drugs to ease the pain of their situation. They have from 6 to 13 years old. I've been standing on the roads. Boys and girls, hundreds of Germans are streaming along to fill their own pleasures at the cost of these children's lives. Unfortunately, they do not just violate them, they are mutilating them and beating them severely as well. We have an opportunity to go in and help two women who have been working with these youngsters for years. But I would appreciate your advice, as you have helped hundreds of broken people in the past. I know that you have a new philosophy, and I was wondering how that may help these children. How can these children be free from this horrifying, continual haunting pain and the experience they've had? That's Gaynor from Germany.
Yes, and I have been in contact with Gaynor. I had not seen an email from him before in a situation like this. I would certainly respond, and I did, and to try to just encourage them in the work that they're doing to try to help the two people who seem to be the kind of feet on the ground people, if you will, in helping them. And, you know, when it comes to the lives of children, this is the number one thing that I do want people to understand, is that sexual abuse at a young age, boys or girls, is fatal to the heart and soul. The only thing that would cause them to recover from that is the gospel. I really do believe that.
Yes,
there just is nothing else that would cause them to recover from this. My daughter was molested at the age of 8, from the age of 8 to the age of 15, unbeknownst to me.
I was molested at summer camp when I was 9 years old. And it's only and it's only the gospel that has gotten me, not only through that situation, but through so many in my life, that has brought a stability. Michael, that's what the Bible says the gospel does. It doesn't give us all, you know, goosebumps and ooey gooey feelings like you get in church sometimes, or at a concert or some other huge group event. But it does, over time, when you meditate upon it and when you're exposed to it over and over, it does seem to bring stability to the heart.
It definitely does, and grace does stabilize the heart, and that's. One of the verses in, actually, I think one of James's writings, where he spoke about, let your hearts be made stable by the grace of God. And that's not the King Jimmy quote, but that's what it says. But, of course, never underestimate the importance of professional counsel, which the Gaynor told me there was just no possibility of that. But when you're dealing with a child who's been molested, the number one thing is that they be believed, and that they that they hear and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that in God's eyes they have always been perfect,
And that it's not their fault. It was in no way, shape, or form is the fault of the child for having that experience.
Never is it the fault of the child under any circumstance. It is always the responsibility of the adults in these situations. And it's a horrible thing. It's a very robbing thing. It's not just a rape of the body, it's a rape of the soul and the mind. Because a child has no place to put sexual experiences, especially a prepubescent child. They just don't have sex in the brain. It's not a chemical that's there yet to, or an emotion that's there yet for them to have some place to put it. So it freaks out the entire system, because there's no place to put it. Even an adult who is raped can absolutely go into a tailspin, and some of them never recover from being raped as adults, who are sexual creatures. Here you're dealing with children, and the damage that it does. And I tell you, I've been walking with my daughter through this now for 3 years, and watching her recovery, watching her confidence grow, her knowing that she was believed, she was trusted, knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that that she knows that there is no complications in her relationship with God, and that she's free to believe whatever she wants. And but these are very important things, and the answer for every situation is the stabilizing force of the gospel. No matter what anybody's been through, and I do put at number one on the list, short of having your life exterminated off of this planet, being sexually abused, being mentally and emotionally abused as a child, right at the top of the charts as the things that screw people's lives up. I mean, just, you know, mental and emotional abuse. My goodness, watch what you say. You know, parents, watch what you say and how you say it. This can turn into abuse very, very easily.
And that's one of the things, getting back to Jerry Falwell's doctrine and that ilk, that's abusive. That is incredibly emotionally damaging to people as evangelical Christianity, that basically the church is raping people emotionally and psychologically. And so whether it be with the physical body or the emotional well-being, the answer is the gospel of grace. And
if these kids heard anything of Jerry Falwell's doctrine, they believe they were born in sin.
Yeah.
They came in this world as little demons, you know, little antichrists almost, totally separated, alienated from God. Oh, my God, I say it, and it just absolutely cringes my entire being to think that I actually agreed with that.
Yeah, it's hard for me to accept that we used to teach this, too. But by the grace of God, he got us out, and and they can get out of it, too. Just, you know, listen, expose them to some of the CDs, expose them to some of the concepts, and just make sure that they know that at the end of the day, they are received and loved and will spend eternity at peace with God.
And even though you can't be a direct influence in their lives, if you've found people who are giving these children shelter and help in any form, support them.
Exactly.
Help them do it. If you can't do it yourself, support the ones who are.
Speaking about supporting, this is Glenn Klein Online, the first night of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive. We're at $460 tonight. Haven't had a contribution. We'd love to finish off the evening. We've got about 10 minutes left. Got a bunch more questions that we want to get to in comments. But our phone lines are open at 1-800-436-3260. That's the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. You can make your contribution at gospelrevolution.com. For $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid, the new CD, Dead to Sin. And we would love to hear your comments tonight. Somebody please call before the webcast is over here around 10:30 Eastern time. And also, if you're listening on the archives, please know that during this next week as you listen, when you email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, excuse me, and let us know what you did, that will count towards the goal. We have got to pay the bills, and that's just the bottom line. We have to keep this effort and the momentum that we've got moving forward, and we're going to be talking a little bit more at the end of this webcast about what's happening here in the near future. But webcast@gospelrevolution.com is the email address. That'll get your contribution counted towards the goal. We're at $460. We'd like to be well close to $1,000. And then, of course, by the next webcast next Wednesday, have reached that $2,500. This is just a quick email from Matt Perry from Ackworth, Georgia, Michael. And he talked about us how that we save him, and as he listens to this webcast, and I emailed him back saying, no, we don't save him. The gospel is what saves him. And he says, guys, if you don't save me personally, then you, at least you're the vessel of that salvation. Well, we're not even the vessel of that salvation. Christ is the vessel of that salvation, Matt, but we'll be happy to be the proclaimers of that vessel. How about that?
Yeah. Very much. Very glad to. And thank you for the encouragement.
And we are really happy to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're taking your questions tonight and your donations. He I got a question right here that I want to get to. If I can get it back up on my screen real quick. This is from Greg in Ohio, who just made a $100 contribution based on a South Park reference. We'll reference every good cartoon that's out there for $100.
Give $100 for Mickey Mouse.
Exactly, or for The Family Guy, or for The Simpsons. He says, Mike, at the Indiana meeting, George talked a little bit about being able to receive wisdom from non-Christian sources. He mentioned a book he read called The Secret. I had never heard of the book, but made a little note to check it out. My wife and I are always on the same wavelength, even though we get our spiritual insights from different sources. She was not at the Indiana Grace Gathering. When I got home, I mentioned that I was interested in reading a book called The Secret. She walked in the bedroom and returned with a copy of it that her friend had given her the day before. We laugh because this is the kind of thing that happens to us all the time. Basically, The Secret is the positive stuff from the Word of Faith movement without the guilt, shame, and feelings of inadequacy.
Yes, very much.
After about two chapters, I nearly threw it in the fireplace. After all, the Word of Faith movement caused a lot of destruction in my life and the lives of so many others. But after reading more of The Secret, I came to see how there is some truth in positive confession and positive thinking. The Secret is all about attracting the good things in life, but it does not make one feel guilty when bad things do happen. The book does not say you are sick or poor because your relationship with your wife is bad, for example. It gives simple strategies for changing one's thinking to bring about better results of health and finances. I'm not on the bandwagon of The Secret. I'm just saying that it was a refreshing to hear Norman Vincent Peale's message of the power of positive thinking without all the Christian guilt and shame interjected. The Word of Faith movement is the most negative message ever preached, even though it was disguised as a positive message. Every single sermon by Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, etc., was just another reason why it does not work. Your faith cannot work when you are sin, or your wife is not in submission, or you did not tithe, or you did not have enough faith, or resist the devil hard enough, and on and on. The Secret is a positive message that leaves out the guilt. Michael, are you familiar with that book?
Yes, I am, and a lot of people are encouraged by The Secret. I had exactly the same response as Greg did. I just bristled at it, to tell you the truth. And anyone from the Word of Faith movement would bristle at The Secret. Oprah really latched on to it and had people on that were almost glassy-eyed, almost Jim Jones about it, you know. So that was a bit of a turn-off instead of a turn-on, and like that all problems in life can be solved if you just think positively, which just isn't true. Thinking positively is positive, but it is not the answer to all things. I was really delighted because Oprah really pushed this book, but I saw her in an interview, and she said that The Secret, that the people who were, and I am putting words in Oprah's mouth, but this is what she said, that people who were embracing The Secret were leaving out other principles of truth. That it is not a truth that that substitutes and replaces all other truth and all other understanding. The only thing that I take issue with is that they basically take the term God and put the universe. And the thing of it is that the universe doesn't go into chink chink and start cranking out miracles for you just because you're thinking positively. I totally refute that. It doesn't happen for anybody, even the glassy-eyed ones. However, the principle, which is taken, and I think as Oprah saw, was taken way too far out of context, even though the book did present it the way that people were taking it. But it is a principle. Positive thinking is a very positive thing. But when we get into this mindset that the entire universe, because of my desires, is working to bring that to me, I believe that positive things bring positive things, but not always.
Exactly. There's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, that is absolute. This was taught, as Greg pointed out, in the Word of Faith movement, as absolute. The only thing that's absolute in the universe is the love of God, the grace of God. because obviously bad things happen to positive or good people.
Oh, absolutely. However, you can be thinking very positively and get hit by a BMW.
Yeah, well, you know, or worse, you know, you could get by a Volkswagen or something. But anyway, it's more positively positive, and there were some good things in that book. And of course, there are good things to learn from other people. From quote, in fact, I would say most good things are from non-Christian sources. You don't want to hear anything from Christian sources unless you are listening to it through the filter of the grace and the gospel of God. We've got another caller online, Michael. Our good friend Richard Mull from California is coming up with an additional $100 donation that takes us to $560. First of all, Richard, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Glenn. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully, and thank you so much,
Richard,
for caring enough to ask.
Is that Michael in the background?
That would be Michael.
I'm always in the background with Glenn.
not always, Michael. Not always. But Richard, thank you so much for your contribution, and I know that you, as well as Greg and many others, were concerned about not having received the Golgotha secret. But Michael, why don't you explain to Richard and to everybody else exactly the process that's been happening with our CD and DVD duplication and how it's about to be rectified?
Well, even the fact that we are producing CDs and DVDs of our own is borders miraculous. We did get the equipment in. I had to learn to run it by myself. That certainly was not going to work on a permanent basis. My dear friend David Manley, a wild a Pentecostal preacher boy up in Michigan, who got his world rocked by the gospel very graciously of his own time, took over the duplication while working three other jobs. David has done a wonderful job, but a lot of things have fallen through the cracks of paperwork, certain orders, and we're with becoming affiliated and on staff with the Freedom Worship Center here, and in partnership with John Adair, the equipment is here. It is in boxes, but it is here, and we'll have this within the office to where that it will be supervised, and every order that comes through will be processed with accuracy. And so finally, we're going to be bringing a close at least to this chapter of the difficulties that we've had in getting CDs and DVDs duplicated and the orders processed promptly. Again, let me say that I am so grateful to David Manley for what he's done. And he packed all this stuff up and shipped it down to us, and now we've got to get it out. And so these things will be up and running. Whenever we offer this, the free CD, one of the things that we have to do is do some how tracking that as to who gets a free CD. So we're going to do that, though, on this broadcast. If anyone did not get any CDs, if you ordered anything, these things are now here. And if you would just send an email letting us know what you got, you don't have to prove that you paid for it. We know that there's been a handful of people. The vast majority of them did go out. David did a great job and mailing stuff out to Canada and all over the U.S. and into parts of Europe too. And but we do have a handful of things that have yet to be caught up. And so don't whatever you do, don't feel slighted, because Richard Mull has been one of our best supporters throughout the years, and we don't even send him his.
That's true. Thank you.
we don't discriminate, Richard. We're equal opportunity offenders. But folks, again, just to reiterate, if you have not received, whether it be the free CD with a gift or any other order, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We'll forward that on to the office, and these will be handled, and you will enjoy them when you get them. But Richard, thank you so much for your continued support. And how's it going out there in California tonight?
It's great. It's probably around 68 degrees or 69 here this evening. Perfect. It's 7:29 in the evening. I love every minute of it. I just can't wait to get back down to Texas or get to Florida or go up to Calgary or go someplace. I'm chomping at the bit here.
Well, Richard,
Richard's got the go going.
Well, we've got a meeting coming up in Houston that we want to mention. Just stay tuned for there's meetings in Canada coming up this fall, also in mid-November in central Wisconsin. So that lots of opportunities for folks to get together. And this is just, you know, absolutely terrific that the webcast can bring people together, and then we have opportunities to come together, and we are going to come together as a group in Houston in the near future for those that can make it down. And then eventually we're going to have a Gospel Revolution convocation, if you will. We'll give people at least a year's heads up so they can make plans. But as Greg Ambury from Kingsville, Ohio said, the webcast is so awesome for me. He says, this is my church. And a greater endorsement cannot be made. But Richard, thanks so much for calling tonight and for contributing.
Oh, and Richard, also to update you, my passport got here. So.
All right.
So I told Richard about my troubles and trials with trying to get my passport, and then the passport office actually kept my old passport and wrote me and told me that I didn't have a passport to replace, and I had to file for a lost passport. So anyway, it came today, so I'm free to travel about the earth again.
All right.
Way to go, Mikey. Hey, Richard, thanks again.
Okay,
thanks,
Glenn,
Richard.
Thank you, and thank you, Michael.
That's Richard Mull from California, who takes us to $560 on the first night of the summer pledge drive at thegospelrevolution.com. You guys are listening on the archive probably right now. Please make a donation to gospelrevolution.com. Just go to the site, click on donations. For $100 or more, you will receive the free CD, Dead to Sin. And as we said, if you're backlogged with any other orders, please let us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com about that and about what you are going to do, hopefully on a monthly basis. And if you're a new monthly contributor, let us know that too, because over the next 21 days, our goal is $7,500 to help pay the bills. Remember, everybody that's involved in this right now is a volunteer, everybody, including Michael. And we would like to change that eventually, but we do have bills, and we really appreciate your support. Speaking of a strong supporter, we just heard from George Howell, Michael, in Pennsylvania. And the book that he mentioned at the Indiana Grace Gathering was not The Secret, but it was called Living Buddha, Living Christ. He says he doesn't agree with what was presented at The Secret. But George Howell was a guest a couple weeks ago on the webcast, and he did a great job, and you can listen to that.
Yeah, there was somebody else that mentioned The Secret. While
right, maybe. Somebody must have. So we've got other questions logged up already. We're just going to hold those off. If your question, folks, were not answered this week, they will be on the next time we meet for the Gospel Revolution second round of the Summer Pledge Drive. That'll be in 1 week's time on August 29th from 9 to 10:30. And then tomorrow night we have a special guest, Stephen Rogers, who has come a long way down this path of the gospel. He just wrote a book called Stop Going to Church, which you might find interesting. And whether you listen live tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern time or on the archive, that will be more gospel edification. And this is part of the salvation process, isn't it, Mikey? Just keeping it in front of our eyes.
Absolutely.
As the Bible says, like frontlets. Well, thank you. This was a good first start, don't you think?
Oh, it was awesome. And to thank Mike so much for calling in and contributing so much. He gave me so many flashbacks, though. It was ridiculous. So, yeah, the bodyguards and briefcase carriers and I can't say escorts because that would probably come out wrong.
Well, that might have been true, too. But, you know, whatever. Well, in any case, folks, again, please contribute during the course of the week. It will count all towards the goal of the $7,500 in the next 21 days, and especially the $2,500 that we need to reach during this course of the first week. I want to thank Patrick L. Jones, our executive producer and engineer of this webcast. And we will talk to you tomorrow night with Stephen Rogers, the author of the book, Stop Going to Church. And until then, this is Glenn Klein online saying, Shalom, everybody!